It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chris will be back with us for the Big Five. Gwynn is yet to come here to the show. He is calling the Padres game right now, and he's going to have some good stories. We're not sure when he's going to join the show, but he will if he can. But the Padres now in the bottom of the ninth against the Mariners, one out. They are up 13-3. Lots of hitting today for the Padres. And so I'm going to go over that in just a second about all of the different guys that are making a case for this team. It's going to be a really difficult decision for AJ Preller and co. And that's exactly what, I mean, that's exactly what we all wanted to see. It would have been so much worse if it was not a difficult decision, but they scored 5 runs in the last 2 innings. And, Jackson Merrill hit a home run. Jose Azokar hit a home run. So we'll get to that in just a second. But normally, this is the time for Chris versus the fans, and I cannot step in for Chris and Chris versus the fans. So you are going to have to wait one more day. And if you are on the line, stay there, because you now have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the SD Legion home opener against Rugby FC Los Angeles this Saturday, March 16th. Grab tickets now at SDLegion.com. All you need to do is be caller number 6, making it easy on Adam, who's joining me here in studio, and I appreciate that. Caller number 6, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You'll win that pair of tickets to the SD Legion home opener against Rugby FC Los Angeles Saturday, March 16th. Grab tickets now at SDLegion.com. Now, let's talk about this Padres game, because we got Yu Darvish going 4 innings, giving up only 1 run. He allowed 3 hits, struck out 1, and walked 1. So a pretty good outing for Yu Darvish in his 4 innings. Then you have, you know, and De Los Santos has had an up and down, I would say an up and down spring training. He pitched an inning today, gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs. He struck out 2, but he gave up a home run. And so I would say that De Los Santos right now is one of the, not question marks, because I believe that he's going to be on the opening day roster. I'm pretty sure he's going to be on the opening day roster. But he's maybe not someone you'll see first out of the bullpen or the arm barn. I forgot to use that. I remember that over the weekend, because we were talking about how the injured or the IL used to be the disabled list and then became the injured list because some were offended. And so now the bullpen cannot be called the bullpen because bulls might find it offensive. So we're going to call it the arm barn. But you got Wandy Peralta out of the arm barn. Wandy Peralta might be one of the steals of the offseason signing period for the Padres, which was, you know, not there. They didn't sign many players, but Wandy Peralta has been really good in spring. He went an inning today, struck out 2, no hits, no walks, no runs. And then Robert Suarez, this is what you want to see out of Robert Suarez. You want to see him go an inning. He gave up a hit, but he struck out 2. So lots of really, really good stuff to talk about on the pitching side today. Let's talk about the runners in scoring position. Oh, and the game has just gone final now. Padres 13, Mariners 3. But let's talk about runners in scoring position today. team was 5-for-11 with runners in scoring position. And I know, I hear you all saying this is just spring training. But I got to say, the closer we get to the season, the better these guys play. Makes me feel good about things. Fernando, he went 0-for-3 today. I'm not worried about him. Is it Oscar? Yes, it's Oscar. He drove in Merrill today. He reached on an infield single. Azokar homered in the top of the ninth inning. He scored Graham Pauly and Brett Sullivan. Merrill homered in the fourth inning. Machado singled to center in the top of the third inning. Camposato doubled to left, and Pauly scored to open up the scoring in the top of the second. I think this is all very, very positive. And if you're looking at this in a completely different way, please tweet me or, you know, chat me here on YouTube. You can join us if you want to watch us on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan. But Camposano is coming together. The Camposano decision to make him the full-time catcher, I think, is going to be the right decision. He went 2-for-3 today. Now, Graham Pauly went 2-for-5 today. He did strike out twice, but he was also all over the place. He scored 2 runs. Jerickson Profar, 1-for-3. And like I said, Jose Azokar went 2-for-2 with a home run. And he scored, or he drove in 2 runs as well. So lots of amazing stuff going on. Oh, yeah, Jackson Merrill, on top of that home run that he had today, he went 3-for-4, and he's now hitting .344 for spring, and his OPS is .931. Just spring training, though. I'm not allowed to get excited. I really am not allowed to get excited. Some of the roster moves that were made earlier today, I just mentioned, Graham Pauly was a part of the game today, which means that he's still with the big league team. Jacob Marcy is not with the big league team. He was sent down, and so I think this is just a decision to allow him some more time to work on some things that he needs to work on, but I don't think that this is something that's going to be all year long. You have one injury, and I think he's right back to where he's right back with the team. But I don't mind seeing Jacob Marcy go back and work on some things. I don't think that's a bad idea. In any form or shape or form is what I was trying to say. I like to see that. And I'm looking for this Jackson Merrill home run because I have not seen it yet. And there we go. He hit it a long way. A really, really long way. So go check that out with Jackson Merrill as well. Now, Yu Darvish. We actually know the opening day pitching rotation. And for the first 2 games in Korea, it's going to be Yu Darvish in game 1 against Tyler Glasnow. So Cillian Murphy lookalike, I think, who won the best actor last night. So Yu Darvish and Tyler Glasnow. And then you got game 2, Joe Musgrove and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So those are some really awesome matchups. And I know that we're going to be awake at 3 in the morning, but I don't know that the rest of baseball is going to be awake at 3 in the morning. I still kind of find things to be a little weird. I'm very excited about the Korea series. I am. And I don't want it to seem like I'm not. But the more I talk to people and the more I think about it, I don't understand why the game, and I do understand because they want it to grow, but I don't understand why the games have to be at 3 a.m. for the fans of the team that, you know, live in their city, that you live in their city. So San Diegans and Los Angeles are going to have to wake up at 3 a.m. to watch this game. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Maybe make it a day game over there in Korea. I guess 2 p.m. here, because we're trying to figure out how to get Tony on the show. But 2 p.m. here is 7 a.m. there. So you can't play a game at 7 a.m. And I guess what? If I'm going to do the math live on the air, 2 p.m., 5, 7. You could do a game at noon if it was a 7 p.m. game here. Anyway, this is all for naught because it's not going to change. But 3 a.m. at 7 Mile Casino with 97.3 The Fan, Yu Darvish and Tyler Glasnow. And I have made the decision that I'm going to go. And I am going to be a part of this extravaganza. I think it's a great idea by the station. I think it's awesome from Ben and Woods that they're doing this. I think it's awesome that Adam got it all together. And I think there's going to be a lot of people there. A ton of people. Jacob says he's going to be there. If you really want to let me know that you're going to be there, please put it in the chat. But it's going to be a good time. And I think Yu Darvish is going to be ready. Now, the rainout on Friday, strange. So we don't have rainouts often here, being the Padres flagship, because obviously San Diego, it doesn't rain all that often, but it does elsewhere. But we've never, I don't think, and Adam can jump in if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've ever had a game canceled or postponed due to a rainout in spring training. And it just kind of stinks because we didn't have a Scraby show. We didn't have the rest of the Gwynn and Chris show. And it was like literally 10 minutes before we went off the air, it started downpour. There was a downpour out there and they postponed the game. So Yu Darvish had to move his start until today, which I was like a little tiny bit, not concerned, but I thought it was weird. And maybe Adam can answer this question. Why can't Yu Darvish just move back to Saturday and then have all of the rotation move back a little bit? Or is that just not how it works, Adam? Do you know?
These guys are so routine-oriented that I think that that's why they do a certain thing on a certain day in between starts, and pushing it back by even a day, I guess, is what throws them out of their rhythm.
Okay, I can get that. I guess I want Yu Darvish to pitch in the places that he wants to pitch, because if he's not ready and if he feels like he warmed up on Friday night and he doesn't want to risk throwing and, you know, after cooling down again, I can see why that would be an issue. And so in the end, it doesn't matter because Yu Darvish is fine and he's going to be the opening day starter in Korea for the Padres against Tyler Glasnow. I don't know. Joe Musgrove, that's the one I'm really looking forward to, is Joe Musgrove and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto hasn't had the best spring after his first appearance. He wasn't necessarily great in his last or his second appearance. So we'll see what's going on with that too. Padres over the weekend were really good. Manny 3-for-3 on Saturday. And then yesterday, Johnny Brito he started the game for the Padres. He went 4 2/3, and he got himself into some trouble. But like our friend Blake Snell, he did not give up any runs, even though he gave up 4 hits and 3 walks in his 4 2/3 innings pitched. He struck out 6. So Brito has been a really good spring addition here. And you got Mr. Go pitched a third of an inning. He did not have a good appearance on Sunday against the Angels. But Tom Cosgrove only walked 1, went an inning. And the one that I am looking to see what happens with is Pedro Avila, because I really believe that he can be a starter. But recently, I don't know that he's shown me enough to say that he's going to be a starter. And I think he's probably going to, I don't know where he's going to start the team with. I would think maybe bullpen, maybe taxi squad or jet squad. But it's an interesting one with him, because at the end of the year, I could have sworn that you could pencil him into maybe the 5th spot in the rotation. But I don't think that's the case anymore. Let's go back to the chat, because I had some people talking about the 7 Mile Casino opening day watch party at 3 a.m. Like I said, Jacob says he's going to be there. Detlef Molt, I love some of these names, will be there starting at 3 a.m. Hashtag 3 a.m. Let's see. EC Money is going to debate to be there. Anthony says debating. It's really hard for me to wake up that early, so I might just stay up until 3. See, that was old me. That was college me. I guess on Tuesday night, I'm going to do the Scraby show, get everybody super pumped up for Sammy Lev's 2 a.m. Padres pregame show. Is he's got to be, right, Adam? He's doing a pregame show at 2 a.m., right?
Sammy's going to do 2:05 a.m. pregame show here at the studio, the Odyssey Empire, and then I think he's going to head on down to 7 Mile and meet us for some fun for a little while, and then head back here and do postgame.
That guy, he does so much. I don't understand it. And if you want to see a really great clip of Sammy Lev from earlier in his broadcasting career, you can go to his Twitter at Sammy Lev, or you can go to my Twitter at Matt Scraby, because he put up a newsreel that he put up a newsreel from when he was doing things back in the day. Like, you could see how much younger Sam is. Not that Sam's really even that old to begin with, but it's really funny because he's like in a, I don't know what to call it. Maybe like he's trying to like shovel dirt, and he's doing stories like that on the news, which I find very funny. So Sammy Lev, 2:05 a.m. from the studio. Then he will be showing up at Seven Mile Casino and then coming back. So if you're going to be there, I'm looking forward to it. All of us are looking forward to it. When we get back here on Gwen and Chris in 97.3 The Fan, we are going to hear from Mike Schilt. He's going to talk about Yu Darvish. We're also going to hear quickly from the ESPN Top 100 article. They put out a ranking of every player in Major League Baseball, kind of like MLB Network, but I'll tell you where some of the different Padres are. And one of the Padres is already ranked higher in the ESPN article than the MLB Network offering. So we'll go over that as well. We still got the big five to go. Tony, whenever he gets in place, will be with us as well. A lot more show to go here. I'm Matt Scraby, back with you shortly on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
One of the things I love about the cameras and I hate about the cameras is I love that people get to see what happens during a radio show because you don't really get to do that. What I hate is when I look at my camera and I see that my hair is like a crazy person because I've been like putting my hands through it. That's one of the things that people have noticed about me is that I am very fidgety, and that is not my fault. But it's my parents' fault. You can blame them for that. Tony Gwynn Jr. is making his way back from the game. He just texted me saying he's going to join me as soon as possible. But the traffic in Arizona is terrible. And I have been in that traffic and it is terrible. So we're going to go with the Big Five here in a little bit. But we're going to start with manager Mike Schilt. And we just talked about Yu Darvish being named the Game 1 starter, which if you ask Sam Levitt, doesn't mean anything. If you were here with us a few weeks ago, Sam didn't think it meant anything. But Mike Schilt, maybe he thinks it means something. And he was asked by the media this morning to talk about Yu Darvish starting Game 1 against the Dodgers.
And exciting, right? Yu Darvish, and then Joe Musgrove the day after. I mean, these are the guys that anchor our starting rotation. Have had tremendous all seasons, are more than ready and chomping at the bit to get started for regular competition, and couldn't have two better guys at the top of rotation. It's an honor to have them there.
It's one game, but the honor of opening day. We make kind of a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Pitchers like it. Why was it you?
It slated into really a lot of the work, the way the work went, and then gosh, you know, you could have literally flipped a coin. What a good situation to have two stud aces at the top of your rotation. You know, it just worked out from a work standpoint, a build-up standpoint, for you to get the opening day nod.
Will Joe get the home opener?
That's a good question, but TBD. Let's get to Korea first.
So there's Mike Schilt with the media, Kevin Acey, AJ Cassavell. I am a little surprised, I gotta say, that Joe Musgrove is not starting first game in Korea. And I would really, really hope that they allow Joe Musgrove to start the home opener when they come back and they play against the Giants 8 days later. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like Yu Darvish is... I guess I don't really have all the answers because I'm not there and I'm not a major league manager, but it did surprise me that Yu Darvish was going first instead of second. I do love this about Mike Schilt, though. He is a funny guy, I gotta say. He's able to handle the media in a good way, and of course it all's nice and rosy right now, but I really think that he is really sarcastic. EC Money is saying it. He's really sarcastic with Kevin Acey because those guys are always trying to get information out of him, and he knows it. He knows it's part of their job, so it's going to be on him to keep that information from everyone. Side note, Austin Eckler to the Commanders. We just got the notification, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But now that the Padres are going to be starting the season before anyone else, they have 8 days off from game two to the home opener, or I guess 7 days off. And Michael King, I know that a lot of people are very excited to see him. And Mike Schilt was asked by the media whether or not, because of the long break, if we could see Michael King in Korea.
He will be available, yes.
Given that he's done it before, he's pitched away before, he seems like a pretty adaptable guy. You anticipate that being pretty seamless for him, even though he is building up for a starting role?
I do. He is hungry to compete, and he's had the experience to do it, and he's more than willing and capable, and good chance he's going to do it.
I love it. I mean, I want guys on my team that are willing to do anything to win, and that seems like what Michael King is all about. And if you have all of that rest in between and you don't think it's going to affect your rhythm or affect your preparation, then go for it. I mean, how nice is it for Mike Schilt to be able to use Michael King here, maybe Yu Darvish goes 4, Michael King goes 3, something like that. You could spread out the number of pitches across the entire pitching staff, and that's very nice. I would really, really like to see. I cannot wait to get some of these guys into the season and just seeing whether or not the trade actually paid off and not just spring training paid off. Abraham Scraby, who would you like to see in the starting lineup up? I don't actually understand that. Never mind. I shouldn't have said that. Thank you.
The word up is a typo. Just who do you want to see in the starting lineup, I think.
Oh, okay. We'll go over that another time. We've done that a couple times, but we'll go over that another time. Welsh Friars in the house. He's coming to us from Wales. I learned that was the actual country instead of, just Welsh. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to stop reading the chats because now we're getting spammed by a bunch of different things. All right, the top 100 players, according to ESPN, that was released. And if you, as Chris would say, want to pay to see it, you can on ESPN.com. But I was looking through, and their number one player, pretty simple, Ronald Acuna Jr. Number two, Aaron Judge. Number three, Juan Soto. And then number four, Mookie Betts. Number five, Freddie Freeman. But the first Padre, and I'm kind of surprised because Shohei Ohtani was actually ranked number 9 just as the DH. But the first Padre on the list that it was different from what MLB Network presented. Fernando Tatis Jr. is 14th on this list, and he was 26th on the MLB Network list. And so I'm not sure why. I actually think that he's in the top 10 of players in baseball. And Adam and I were kind of talking in the break about why he was in 2021 was ranked the 6th best player in baseball before the year. And then now in 2024, he's gone all the way down and he's had to work his way back up. Now, I do know he missed time. He was injured. He was also, he also got suspended for the PED stuff. So I understand that. But don't you just look at every single year who's coming into the year? Don't you just look at them and say, Fernando's a top 10 guy. I don't understand. For me, at least, it doesn't compute that Fernando's not a top 10 guy in these lists. But Garrett Cole's number 7, Corey Seager's number 6, Yordan Alvarez number 8, like I said, Ohtani number 9, and Corbin Carroll number 10. Adley Rutschman 11. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but these are the guys that are in front of Fernando. Matt Olson, number 12. Bryce Harper, 13. And then if you keep going down, I'm going to keep looking for the next Padre on the list, which, you know, Manny Machado is the next guy on the list at 25. So I think some experts may be sleeping on the Padres slightly, and I understand why they may be sleeping on a guy like Manny Machado, but we've seen over the years that it doesn't matter what kind of season Manny is having, he's going to put up his numbers. But Manny, I think, has a lot of not proving to do this season, but I think he wants to have a good year so he can kind of just make everybody be quiet about last year and about the failures of last year. I think Manny Machado is going to have a huge year. But there you go. If you want to go, like I said, if you want to find the full article, you can go to ESPN.com, and it's up there at the top of the page. But Fernando, first Padre on the list. All right, when we get back, we will have the Big Five. And in the Big Five, we're going to talk about a whole lot of different things. And Trevor Bauer, something we haven't mentioned today, is that Trevor Bauer over the weekend, and he pitched against Dodgers minor leaguers. And I'll just give it away, he pitched great. But do you think that the Major League Baseball owners are blacklisting him? That's what we're going to talk about in the Big Five. Tony still to join us here on 97.3 The Fan. Here in the Odyssey Palace on 97.3 The Fan. Did you know you can listen to 97.3 The Fan with your smart speaker? Ask your device to play 97.3 The Fan to give it a shot. It works, trust me, because I ask my smart speaker to play 97.3 The Fan all the time, and it takes me right there. So we're going to do the Big Five here in just a second. There was a brawl over the weekend in college basketball, women's college basketball in the SEC championship. T. Higgins is not happy. Corbin Burns is named the opening day starter. So we'll get into that in just a second. But I wanted to bring up some of the messages that we've received on YouTube real quick. And so the first one, we were talking about video games earlier. And Chris asked me how many hours worth of video games, like when I sit down to play video games on the weekend, how long do I sit there for? And I said probably 5 or 6 hours, and that's true. It's the truth. I played for 6 hours on Saturday, and then I hear Adam's weekend of being a dad, and I'm like, you must want to punch me in the face because I'm doing nothing. But Chance says, I am married, and I play for about 5 hours a day, Scraby. Being married for over 20 years is just like any other day. So after 20, Scraby, you could play 5+ hours a day. That actually makes sense, Chance. I could see myself waiting 20 years of marriage just so I could play the 5 hours of video games per day, though. That's crazy. If I was retired, I might be playing 5 hours of video games per day. This is kind of a side note, but JH619, he said, Scraby, I followed your lead and signed up for SD Fat Loss. I start Friday. I'm stoked to do it. Saw results that you got, and I am sold. So good luck with that. Hit me up if you need any help with anything. Just follow the program. I promise you, it works. It really does. And I'm still following it to this day. And like now I guilt myself when I eat carbs. I'm like, ugh, you ate carbs 2 days ago, Mr. Scraby. I don't call myself Mr. Scraby. But you ate carbs a couple days ago, and now you can't eat carbs today, but you're doing it anyway. You're throwing your body off balance. This is the battles that go on in my head. Last one I want to bring up, Anthony. He's a major contributor to our YouTube throughout the entire day. So thank you, Anthony. But he says that as a bald guy, he looks at Adam in the camera and says, I'm bald, so I feel represented, Adam Klug. And I just want everybody to know, Adam is not bald. He just has a really short haircut. A really short haircut. Isn't that true, Adam?
Yeah, this is fresh. Shaved it earlier today.
Like, are you going clippers or are you bicking?
This is clippers with no guard.
Clippers with no guard.
So basically the closest you can get to bicking it.
So why did you go that route?
It's how I like the look. I mean, okay. I used to in college.
If that's it, then that's fine.
By now, everyone has seen the picture of what my hair looked like in college. This is about the extreme opposite.
It is. There's a lot of hair. It's like Chris's picture of him with the hair as well. He chose baldness, Anthony says. All right. Well, we're going to get you to your traffic report here in just a second. We're also going to get to the big five. So stick around because that's right now.
That time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And, Chris, here we are, the week that the Padres are leaving for Korea to start the season against the Dodgers. How do you feel? How do you feel about it?
I can't believe it's already here.
Me neither.
Right?
Me neither.
It's been seems like we just beat the Dodgers in a playoff series. Oh, no, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was much longer ago. It hasn't happened recently.
No, I forgot. Basically, I forgot the very end of last season. So
I think everybody did, Chris.
I think every Padre fan is just kind of excited that this offseason has almost come to an end.
Yeah,
you know, because when you have a disappointing season like that, you just want to go right back out and make it all right again.
You definitely do. So let's get right into it.
Number five.
And I know that we have talked about this before, and I know we've answered this before, but now we have some raw data to add into the Trevor Bauer conversation, Chris. Over the weekend, did you hear about this? He pitched for the Asian Breeze against the Dodgers minor leaguers. I want to remind everybody, Dodgers minor leaguers. He touched 99. He went three scoreless with four strikeouts and a walk. And apparently, according to the things I saw, no major league scouts were in attendance, which now is leading people to believe Major League Baseball is blacklisting him. So, Chris, do you feel like Major League Baseball is blacklisting him, or is this his own doing?
It's his own doing, Scraby. It honestly is. I mean, the fact that nobody would go show up to watch a guy, you know, with his credentials, right? He's got a Cy Young Award. He's still throwing 99 miles an hour. The fact that absolutely nobody would show up to watch this guy pitch tells you that the situation that he got himself into, and you can say, well, he was never convicted of anything, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter. It's such a bad look that nobody wants to touch this guy with a 20-foot pole. I think from his side, he can say, yeah, he's being blacklisted, but he put himself in this own situation. There's no way that baseball teams wouldn't want Trevor Bauer if it wasn't for the kinds of problems that he had off the field. So I think both things, I guess, are true. I think he's being blacklisted, but I think it's his own doing. So, I mean, teams are of free will, can do what they want. I mean, any team could go see him pitch and be, you know, consider signing him. I think it's pretty clear nobody wants to.
Yeah. Do I think he's being blacklisted? Well, I want to say it's probably both, as Chris said, but it is very strange to me that there is nothing, there's no team out there willing to even take a sniff at him. And he's saying, I'll pitch for the MLB minimum. I don't even care. Just let me pitch. And I do feel like people are blackmailing him, or blacklisting him. No one's blackmailing
definitely not
him,
blackmailing
for
him.
The record. Blacklisting him because there are teams with no moral scruples that would bring in Trevor Bauer to help them pitch. Because obviously he still has something. So I think that they are. They're banding together to stick it to the guy or whatever. I know he has his past. I know he's done some questionable things. I have to put that aside in this case, though.
Here's the thing with Trevor Bauer, beyond the fact that he did what he did or he didn't do what he didn't do, whatever it is. I don't think anybody wants to take a chance on bringing the guy into their clubhouse.
That's another point.
You know, it really is. I think a lot of people are looking at this and looking at this incident or the incidents and saying, you know what, he's a bad guy. We have moral scruples. Our fan base will never live up. We'll never put up with it. I don't know that we can be that nice to Major League Baseball, that they're so concerned about their fan bases, because you're right. Baseball, football especially, but baseball too. They've taken chances on bad guys before, to the, you know, despite the fact that their fans might not be happy about it. But I think Trevor Bauer's clubhouse ability to ruin a clubhouse, that is something that a team will not touch at all. And I think it's pretty clear that you combine everything. This guy has played himself. You played yourself.
Congratulations.
As DJ Khaled would say. And I think he's played himself right out of baseball.
Right out of baseball. Man, that's a hard pill to swallow. But
yeah, you know, honestly, if he was a good clubhouse guy and he made a mistake and did what he did, I don't know that they wouldn't be able to forgive him a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's both things. He's bad off the field. He's bad in the clubhouse.
Yeah, we could go on for days about this, but yeah, we probably could. Will, because it will come up again at some point.
Yeah, he'll pitch against somebody's minor league team somewhere else.
Yeah, that is true. It was a minor league team. South Carolina forward Camila Cardoso was one of six players ejected from the SEC championship game after she shoved LSU's Flage. I don't know if that's the name.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Oh, Flage. Yes. Flage Johnson to the floor late in the fourth quarter of the Gamecocks 79-72 win. Gamecocks guard Malaysia Fulwiley had stolen the ball from Johnson, who wrapped her up and was called for an intentional foul. Then Johnson bumped South Carolina's Ashlyn Watkins, lots of names here, keep up with me, while heading to her bench. And then, originally Camila Cardoso, she rushed in and pushed Johnson to the ground. And I gotta say, that was a pretty good push. That was more like just a solid person hitting another person. Anyway, Camila Cardoso apologized after the game, saying she takes full responsibility and knows she was in the wrong for this. But with more eyes comes more coverage. I'm up first. Is this actually a good thing for women's basketball? My answer to this, I'm not a big fan of fighting, but yes, I think this is a good thing for women's basketball. Just like the whole Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark thing, you want some controversy, you want some stuff like this, and it makes people realize how serious everybody's taking it. So yes, I think it's a good thing. Chris?
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
I know.
College women's basketball has taken leaps and bounds forward. It really, truly has. The Caitlin Clark game that she broke one of the records a couple of weeks ago was the highest rated college basketball game of the season, men or women. I mean, that is something unheard of in the past, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So women's basketball is making huge strides. They've got star players. They got people who we know. I'm tuning in to watch the games. You're tuning in to what people are tuning in to watch these games. I watched almost that entire game between South Carolina and LSU. But what happened is not a good thing for basketball. And it's just it's a bad thing for behavior. And here's the thing. You know, I give Cardoso a lot of credit for coming out and apologizing and owning up to the mistake that she made. You could go through this play two or three times. There were a lot of people at fault. The real problem in this game was the fact that the officials let it get out of hand in the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter. So when this happened in the fourth quarter, tempers had already been flaring from before. And that is what led to this. They got to do a better job of getting officials who can control the game. But that said, I know that we're in a different era now. You're going to taunt. Our players are taunting. Players are celebrating wildly every time they make a three-point shot. I understand it's different than it used to be, but you still want to keep your poise out there. And that is a lesson that I would like younger people who are tuning in and viewing these games, a lesson that they need to learn and understand. And when they see something like this happen, they think it's okay for them to do the same thing. So that's why it's a bad thing.
Chris is right, everybody, but I'm going to tune in to see fights. But Chris
is
right.
I know you are.
Chris
is right. I know you are.
I want to make that clear.
You tune in for controversy. I get it. And yes, like Major League Baseball, bench clearing brawl, you're going to want to see the video.
We barely see that anymore, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, here we go.
Number three.
All right. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports T. Higgins has requested a trade after the team franchise tag him, the team being the Cincinnati Bengals. They franchise tagged him a few weeks ago. Here's the tweet from Adam Schefter. Higgins loves Cincinnati and hoped to be with the team long term, but is disappointed that the team has not had any talks about a long term contract since March of 2023. He's ready to move on to a new home, Adam Schefter tweeted. Does he work for T. Higgins? He's saying he loves Cincinnati. Anyway, they were slated to pay him $21.8 million on the franchise tag if they can't agree to a long-term deal. So, Chris, is T. Higgins worth big money?
He's worth a lot of money. I don't know how big. $21.8, he ought to be pretty happy with that. I mean, look, the franchise tag is, from what I understand, has always been the top five salaries in the league, right? The average of those five.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that T. Higgins is one of the top five receivers in the league. So getting a franchise tag and getting paid in the same company as, say, Tyreek Hill and, you know, Justin Jefferson and, you know, CeeDee Lamb and whoever you want to name as the top five receivers in football, that's pretty good for T. Higgins. But I also understand the desire to have a long-term contract and have a little bit of, be a little bit, you know, in a comfortable position. And going year from year, year to year, that can wear on somebody. So he wants to find somebody that wants to, you know, where he can find a home and settle down for a couple of years. I don't think he's well, yeah, I think he's well within his right to complain a little bit about this and ask out.
All right. That was interesting. You kind of changed my mind a little bit because I don't necessarily know that he's proven enough to be paid number one money because he was hurt all last year. He's had great seasons, yeah, but he was also alongside Jamar Chase. I think he is worth at least top 10, top 15 wide receiver money, but maybe not top five. I think he'll be disappointed if he goes somewhere else. He's not going to be with Joe Burrow. He's not going to be with Jamar Chase. And as you say all the time, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I mean, it's interesting. He's a number two receiver on his own team.
Yeah.
But he's being paid as one of the top five receivers in the entire league.
I guess that's a little bit of good faith, but I understand why he wants the
But I understand
long-term.
Why he'd want to get something long term.
Number two.
Even though he has yet to officially debut with the Orioles, Corbin Burns, will be the opening day starter for the Baltimore Orioles, and that was expected after he was acquired from the Brewers in a trade last month. Orioles manager Brandon Hyde made it official with the announcement yesterday. He said, "It was a real honor for me to let him know. We've been talking about it for a while, and we're really excited to watch him pitch on opening day. I'm up first. What is your outlook on the Orioles?" I'm a huge Orioles guy. I'm Orioles West over here. Adley Rutschman. They're going to have guys like Gunnar Henderson, and Jackson Holliday may make a crack at the team at some point. What's my outlook? I think they build on last year, and they win a playoff series. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at the Yankees because the Yankees got Juan Soto, but, you know, I have my own concerns about Juan Soto. We've gone over that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Yankees will be right there. Toronto's good. Tampa Bay's always better than I think they're going to be. But the Orioles definitely should be the team to beat. Don't forget, they won more games than the Dodgers did last year. I mean, that's how good the Orioles were. They won 101 in that division. All right. You know, one of the best divisions in all of baseball. They still won 101 games. The addition of Corbin Burns is exactly what they need. They've got a bunch of young, good starting pitchers that are going to just all slot down one spot, right, to 2, 3, and 4 instead of having to be aces. Corbin Burns can take that and give them the innings they need. I definitely think Baltimore is a team to beat. And I think most people are overlooking them despite all the great success they had last year.
It should be exciting. Now I need to get Adley Rutschman in our fantasy league that we're playing, Chris. I need
it. Yeah, just for that, I will draft him. And
you're going to draft him like number one overall or something.
Wouldn't be the worst pick you could make.
Oh, no. He was great last year. He was great.
Number one.
All right. This one's a tough one to talk about in a different way. I've done helicopters tours around the Hawaiian Islands before. I'm not sure. Have you, Chris? Have you ever done that before? Done the helicopter?
Not a helicopter, no.
Okay. Well, I thought it was great. I loved it. They took us to different spots where Jurassic Park was filmed and all that. But this clip that I'm about to play is a nightmare from one of those tours. This happened recently, and it's all just noise. There's nothing to hear. No.
that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And Chris, here we are, the week that the Padres are leaving for Korea to start the season against the Dodgers. How do you feel? How do you feel about it?
I can't believe it's already here.
Me neither.
Right?
Me neither.
It's been seems like we just beat the Dodgers in a playoff series. Oh no, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was much longer ago. Happened recently.
No, I forgot. Basically, I forgot the very end of last season. So
I think Chris.
I think every Padre fan is just kind of excited that this off season has almost come to an end.
Yeah,
you know, because when you have a disappointing season like that, you just want to go right back out and make it all right again.
You definitely do. So let's get right into it.
Number five.
And I know that we have talked about this before, and I know we've answered this before, but now we have some raw data to add into the Trevor Bauer conversation, Chris. Over the weekend, did you hear about this? He pitched for the Asian Breeze against the Dodgers minor leaguers. I want to remind everybody, Dodgers minor leaguers. He touched 99. He went three scoreless with four strikeouts and a walk. And apparently, according to the things I saw, no Major League scouts were in attendance, which now is leading people to believe Major League Baseball is blacklisting him. So, Chris, do you feel like Major League Baseball is blacklisting him, or is this his own doing?
It's his own doing, Scraby. It honestly is. I mean, the fact that nobody would go show up to watch a guy, you know, with his credentials, right? He's got a Cy Young Award. He's still throwing 99 miles an hour. The fact that absolutely nobody would show up to watch this guy pitch tells you that the situation that he got himself into, and you can say, well, he was never convicted of anything, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter. It's such a bad look that nobody wants to touch this guy with a 20-foot pole. I think from his side, he can say, yeah, he's being blacklisted, but he put himself in this own situation. There's no way that baseball teams wouldn't want Trevor Bauer if it wasn't for the kinds of problems that he had off the field. So I think both things, I guess, are true. I think he's being blacklisted, but I think it's his own doing. So, I mean, teams are of free will, can do what they want. I mean, any team could go see him pitch and be, you know, consider signing him. I think it's pretty clear nobody wants to.
Yeah. Do I think he's being blacklisted? Well, I want to say it's probably both, as Chris said, but it is very strange to me that there is nothing, there's no team out there willing to even take a sniff at him. And he's saying, I'll pitch for the MLB minimum. I don't even care. Just let me pitch. And I do feel like people are blacklisting him, or blacklisting him. No one's blacklisting
him,
for the record. Blacklisting him, because there are teams with no moral scruples that would bring in Trevor Bauer to help them pitch. Because obviously he still has something. So I think that they are. They're banding together to stick it to the guy or whatever. I know he has his past. I know he's done some questionable things. I have to put that aside in this case, though.
Here's the thing with Trevor Bauer, beyond the fact that he did what he did or he didn't do what he didn't do, whatever it is. I don't think anybody wants to take a chance on bringing the guy into their clubhouse.
That's another point.
You know, it really is. I think a lot of people are looking at this and looking at this incident or the incidents and saying, you know what, he's a bad guy. We have moral scruples. Our fan base will never will never put up with it. I don't know that we can be that nice to Major League Baseball, that they're so concerned about their fan bases, because you're right. Baseball, football especially, but baseball too, they've taken chances on bad guys before, to the, you know, despite the fact that their fans might not be happy about it. But I think Trevor Bauer's clubhouse, ability to ruin a clubhouse, that is something that a team will not touch at all. And I think it's pretty clear that you combine everything. This guy has played himself. You played yourself.
Congratulations.
As DJ Khaled would say. And I think he's played himself right out of baseball.
Right out of baseball. Man, that's a hard pill to swallow. But
yeah, you know, honestly, if he was a good clubhouse guy and he made a mistake and did what he did, I don't know that they wouldn't be able to forgive him a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's both things. He's bad off the field. He's bad in the clubhouse.
Yeah. We could go on for days about this, but yeah, we probably will because it will come up again at some point.
Yeah, he'll pitch against somebody's minor league team somewhere else.
Yeah, that is true. It was a minor league team. South Carolina forward Camila Cardoso was one of six players ejected from the SEC championship game after she shoved LSU's Flage. I don't know if that's the name.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Oh, Flage, yes. Flage Johnson to the floor late in the fourth quarter of the Gamecocks 79-72 win. Gamecocks guard Malaysia Fulwiley had stolen the ball from Johnson, who wrapped her up and was called for an intentional foul. Then Johnson bumped South Carolina's Ashlyn Watkins, lots of names here, keep up with me, while heading to her bench. And then, originally Camila Cardoso, she rushed in and pushed Johnson to the ground. And I gotta say, that was a pretty good push. That was more like just a solid person hitting another person. Anyway, Camila Cardoso apologized after the game, saying she takes full responsibility and knows she was in the wrong for this. But with more eyes comes more coverage. I'm up first. Is this actually a good thing for women's basketball? My answer to this, I'm not a big fan of fighting, but yes, I think this is a good thing for women's basketball. Just like the whole Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark thing, you want some controversy, you want some stuff like this, and it makes people realize how serious everybody's taking it. So yes, I think it's a good thing. Chris?
Yeah, it's not a good thing. I know. College women's basketball has taken leaps and bounds forward. It really, truly has. The Caitlin Clark game that she broke one of the records a couple of weeks ago was the highest-rated college basketball game of the season, men or women. I mean, that is something unheard of in the past, right?
Yeah.
So women's basketball is making huge strides. They've got star players. They got people who we know. I'm tuning in to watch the games. You're tuning in to what people are tuning in to watch these games. I watched almost that entire game between South Carolina and LSU. But what happened is not a good thing for basketball. And it's just it's a bad thing for behavior. And here's the thing. You know, I give Cardoso a lot of credit for coming out and apologizing and owning up to the mistake that she made. You could go through this play two or three times. There were a lot of people at fault. The real problem in this game was the fact that the officials let it get out of hand in the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter. So when this happened in the fourth quarter, tempers had already been flaring from before. And that is what led to this. They got to do a better job of getting officials who can control the game. But that said, you got to, I know that we're in a different era now. You're going to taunt. Our players are taunting. Players are celebrating wildly every time they make a three-point shot. I understand it's different than it used to be, but you still want to keep your poise out there. And that is a lesson that I would like younger people who are tuning in and viewing these games, a lesson that they need to learn and understand. And when they see something like this happen, they think it's okay for them to do the same thing. So that's why it's a bad thing.
Chris is right, everybody, but I'm going to tune in to see fights. But Chris is right.
You are.
Chris is
I know
right,
you are. You,
I want to make sure that's clear.
You tune in for controversy. I get it. And yes, like Major League Baseball, bench clearing brawl, you're going to want to see the video.
We barely see that anymore, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, here we go.
Number three.
All right. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports T. Higgins has requested a trade after the team franchise tag him, the team being the Cincinnati Bengals. They franchise tag him a few weeks ago. Here's the tweet from Adam Schefter. Higgins loves Cincinnati and hoped to be with the team long term, but is disappointed that the team has not had any talks about a long term contract since March of 2023. He's ready to move on to a new home, Adam Schefter tweeted. Does he work for T. Higgins? He's saying he loves Cincinnati. Anyway, they were slated to pay him $21.8 million on the franchise tag if they can't agree to a long-term deal. So, Chris, is T. Higgins worth big money?
He's worth a lot of money. I don't know how big. 21.8, he ought to be pretty happy with that. I mean, look, the franchise tag is, from what I understand, has always been the top five salaries in the league, right? The average of those five.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that T. Higgins is one of the top five receivers in the league. So getting a franchise tag and getting paid in the same company as, say, Tyreek Hill and, you know, Justin Jefferson and, you know, CeeDee Lamb and whoever you want to name as the top five receivers in football, that's pretty good for T. Higgins. But I also understand the desire to have a long-term contract and have a little bit of, be a little bit, you know, in a comfortable position. And going year from year, year to year, that can wear on somebody. So he wants to find somebody that wants to, you know, where he can find a home and settle down for a couple of years. I don't think he's well. Yeah, I think he's well within his right to complain a little bit about this and ask out.
All right, that was interesting. You kind of changed my mind a little bit because I don't necessarily know that he's proven enough to be paid number one money because he was hurt all last year. He's had great seasons, yeah, but he was also alongside Ja'Marr Chase. I think he is worth at least top 10, top 15 wide receiver money, but maybe not top five. I think he'll be disappointed if he goes somewhere else. He's not going to be with Joe Burrow. He's not going to be with Ja'Marr Chase. And as you say all the time, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I mean, it's interesting. He's a number two receiver on his own team.
Yeah.
But he's being paid as one of the top five receivers in the entire league.
I guess that's a little bit of good faith, but I understand why he wants the
But I understand why he'd want to get something long term.
Number two.
Even though he has yet to officially debut with the Orioles, Corbin Burnes will be the opening day starter for the Baltimore Orioles, and that was expected after he was acquired from the Brewers in a trade last month. Orioles manager Brandon Hyde made the made it official with the announcement yesterday. He said, "It was a real honor for me to let him know. We've been talking about it for a while, and we're really excited to watch him pitch on opening day." I'm up first. What is your outlook on the Orioles? I'm a huge Orioles guy. I'm Orioles West over here. Adley Rutschman. They're going to have guys like Gunnar Henderson, and Jackson Holliday may make a crack at the team at some point. What's my outlook? I think they build on last year, and they win a playoff series. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at the Yankees because the Yankees got Juan Soto, but, you know, I have my own concerns about Juan Soto. We've gone over that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Yankees will be right there. Toronto's good. Tampa Bay's always better than I think they're going to be. But the Orioles definitely should be the team to beat. Don't forget, they won more games than the Dodgers did last year. I mean, that's how good the Orioles were. They won 101 in that division. All right. You know, one of the best divisions in all of baseball. They still won 101 games. The addition of Corbin Burnes is exactly what they need. They've got a bunch of young, good starting pitchers that are going to just all slot down one spot, right, to 2, 3, and 4 instead of having to be aces. Corbin Burnes can take that and you know, give them the innings they need. I definitely think Baltimore is a team to beat. And I think most people are still are overlooking them despite all the great success they had last year.
It should be exciting. Now I need to get Adley Rutschman in our fantasy league that we're playing, Chris. I need
it. Just for that, I will draft him. And
you're gonna draft him like number one overall or something.
Wouldn't be the worst pick you could make.
No, he was great last year. He was great.
Number one.
All right, this one's a tough one to talk about in a different way. I've done helicopters tours around the Hawaiian Islands before. I'm not sure. Have you, Chris? Have you ever done that before? Done the helicopter?
Not a helicopter, no.
Okay, well, I thought it was great. I loved it. They took us to different spots where Jurassic Park was filmed and all that. But this clip that I'm about to play is a nightmare from one of those tours. This happened recently. And it's all just noise. There's nothing no dialogue. But I think you can visualize what's happening. And I'll play it on YouTube. So if you want, you can see it later. But here it is, Chris. Just listen along with everybody else. They are just taking a nice, leisurely stroll.
Thank you.
And at the end there, that was them crashing into the beach. So, terrifying. The video.
Was there a storm or something?
No, what happened was there was a mechanical failure. And so I will explain, because the tweet that I found this on explained it. I guess whenever you have a mechanical failure, you try to auto-rotate, and it helps you to slow down as you're falling. So the guy did everything he was supposed to do. Everybody lived. But my question, Chris, does this make you rethink flying in a helicopter?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, good. Me neither.
I don't worry about stuff like that. I really never have. I mean, I read stories of people getting hit by cars crossing the street every day. I'm not going to keep me from crossing the street. I have been in a helicopter before. Not of a tour. You said a tour of Hawaii. I had never done that. But, yeah, I always feel safe when I travel in the air. I mean, I understand that accidents happen, but I can't live my life like that, Scrape. Sorry.
No, I'm with you. I think this makes me feel like I'm even safer. If a guy knows what to do when his helicopter stops working, I feel good. I feel good about it.
I mean, no one will ever, forget and the tragic thing that happened with Kobe, on the helicopter ride. I mean, there are terrible outcomes to these kinds of things from time to time, but I don't think any of us should ever stop living our lives.
I agree. All right, that's it for the Big Five. Chris is off for the rest of the day, and we will get back to some more Padres talk here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.